Sometimes we have to have serious discussions with our loved ones, and sometimes those discussions can be troublesome and troubling, especially when trying to speak to your aging parents about money and in light of some of the things that you may yourself have read about some of the challenges that seniors face. So I wanted to discuss that today, and I've invited Pat Regnier. He is assistant managing editor for Money Magazine to discuss this issue. He has written on this issue himself, as well as edited others at the same time. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hi, good to be with you again.
So what are the ground rules here? I mean, this is a very sensitive issue. We deal with this all the time in our own practice where, you know, you can see that on the one hand, from the parents' point of view, they've been handling their money all of these years. They've pretty much done okay. Children have come up, and now the children are at such an age that, and if they're well-educated or reading about these things, they're finding, hey, you know, maybe my parents aren't really doing everything right, or they're subject to scams and things like that. First of all, how should this whole situation be approached?
Well, first of all, you want to really kind of drop the attitude is ground rule number one. You want to avoid sort of an I know better approach. An interesting stat we found, Fidelity Investments did a survey and found that about 25% of people who are adult children with parents think that their parents could use a hand. 97% of the parents in the parent survey don't think they need that help.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to sort of understand that this is something you're going to find some resistance on. And if you go in there with a chip on your shoulder, that's going to be difficult. Two words to avoid. The experts that we talk to say, just don't say you should. I think that goes hand in hand with avoiding the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've also suggested often that it can be helpful to bring in a third party. It's not just you, some kind of a trusted expert who doesn't have to be necessarily a financial advisor. I mean, there are all kinds of people you could talk to. Some of the experts we talk to, you know, sometimes if you have a relationship with a doctor, that can be helpful.
I see.
Or an attorney.
All right. So let's get to the point where, let's say you are sitting there face to face and give us some phrases to use in order to open up a discussion. So as you say, people don't become defensive and they don't sense an attitude, you know, I'm telling you what to do kind of attitude. What are some of the first things that you can say?
Well, I mean, sometimes it's really just about saying, for example, going to something other than I just came in here with an opinion about something you're doing wrong. You could say, for example, if you are reading a magazine and there are some suggestions, you could say, hey, you know, I just read this article. It has some really great tips for a suggestion. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gets the ball rolling in one way. Also, to talk about, you know, if you're worried about scams, you don't have to say, oh, my gosh, watch out for this scam. You know, your parents have friends, and they may be seeing some of their friends getting into trouble, and that can be a natural time to bring up, boy, I heard about this scam. I hope none of your friends are involved in something like this. You know, more broadly, I think one way to get the conversation going is to ask them for advice about your finances. My parents are still quite young. My father only just retired, so a lot of the stuff is years away for us. But one thing that I have found is I talk to my father for financial advice all the time, and it's built a relationship about talking about money that I think will hold us in good stead in the future. As I ask for advice, he often tells me a bit about his, and so I do have a sense of my financial picture. Also, by the way, I get great advice from him.
Well, you know, I mean, in a sense, you're in the business, too. He knows that you write about money, and you probably have access to information that he doesn't. When it comes to scams, especially via email, I mean, some of the more ridiculous ones can open up a conversation, you know, about some minister in Nigeria who needs $1 million, but he just needs you to send whatever, you know, a check for $10 to get him started or whatever it is. I mean, I think you can open it up with some humor with regards to things that are obviously ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think part of it is just, you know, you're keeping it a little bit off the sensitive spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that's here is we're often talking about things that other people are doing is often a way to get these conversations started.
Should you dangle a carrot? Should you say, you know, I think I can save you some money on your cable bill, Dad. You know, how about we take a look?
Yeah, I think that can be helpful. And one of the things about that is, you know, you've also talked about technology issue, which I think is kind of interesting. You know, a lot of people would be quite willing to say, you know, I'm sharp as a tack, but, you know, I don't know about, you know, all the latest new things out there. And, you know, cable stuff is changing all the time.
Right.
Online bill paying. Helping your parents out with technology stuff, which they may not be feel as sensitive about as financial stuff. Often that overlaps with money. For example, helping your parents set up online bill paying. For one thing, it's just helpful to them if they aren't already there. But, you know, also you do start to kind of get a glimpse of what's going on, which can hold you in good stead later. So, again, it's not directly about you're in trouble with your money. It's about there's good stuff here that I'm telling you about that's helpful and can make your life better. And it's not necessarily about, you know, your failures in financial management.
My guest is Pat Regnier. He is assistant managing editor for Money Magazine. And we're talking about how to begin the dialogue with talking to your parents about money, whether it's your own money or whether you want to talk to them about theirs and help them as well. Pat, what are the reasons for talking to your parents about money? What are some of the issues that they're really facing?
Well, you know, one of the things that I think it's really important to say here is, you know, it's not just about if you have a parent who's experiencing some kind of cognitive decline. That's a part of life, but as we all know, you know, lots of people stay sharp well into their 90s and beyond. But often your parents are just going to be dealing with new and different issues. If your parents have a household anything like my household, you know, spouses split financial duties, you know, when one spouse dies, often that means that now you have a parent who's dealing with financial issues that are completely new to them,
right,
and they may be feeling overwhelmed. Another issue is right now, lots of people are kind of being pushed into making more complex financial decisions. In this low-yield environment, people are kind of hungry for some kind of yield, more return. That means that more new exotic kinds of things are being sold to them, pushed on them, and they may be seeking them out.
Well, the products get more sophisticated because they have to do more financial engineering to create seemingly high-income products in a low-income environment.
Exactly. And obviously, the marketers are aware that there's a hunger out there for it, too.
Exactly.
So, I think at the extreme end, there's also some scams on the rise as well that are new kinds of pitches that people aren't necessarily ready for or know how to defend against.
My guest is Pat Regnier. He's assistant managing editor for Money Magazine, and we're talking about communication with those you love. I think it's ironic that when you're accumulating money during your lifetime, you start off with a small amount, and let's say you're doing it mostly in a 401k, and a 401k has a plan sponsor, and they may offer you some literature and some advice. Maybe there's actually an advisor there who's meeting with employees once a year, something of that nature, but you don't really have that much money. You accumulate over many, many years, and now that you have the most money you'll ever have in your life, you decide, I'm going to roll this money out of the plan into an IRA, which of course is still sheltered from tax. And now you have no help and you're completely on your own. What do you do about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really tricky thing. David Wadeson, an economist at Harvard, talks about this as kind of an upside down system, that people, you know, now they have the most money and they have the least amount of protection when they have the most money. And at the extreme end, as they age, they may be getting into some cognitive issues. And I think so that's one of the reasons why, you know, kids need to sort of be alert to what kinds of, you know, help their parents might need. One thing you do is, this is what Wadeson has suggested, is, you know, when you are 55, 65, that's when you want to start getting your financial house in order. You want to sort of set things up. So while you're still, you know, outside of that kind of pressure zone, so that you know that you have something that's going to work for you for a lifetime, so that you're not, you know, having to do new complicated things at 85 and 90 with your money. And so it's a matter of kind of getting your act together early, I think, is very helpful.
And we're talking about other family members trying to help. Maybe one very good idea is to ask whether you can come along to the meeting with a financial advisor, because you want to learn about what they're offering for, you know, your own reasons. And plus, it doesn't hurt to have another set of ears.
That's right. It's helpful, first of all, because obviously, while there are a lot of great financial advisors out there, and we've already talked about having a third party can be very helpful in helping your parents, you also want to kind of check this guy or gal out. You want to hear what they're being pitched. And, you know, and if you're along with your parent, you can direct your concerns and your questions to that person instead of to them. You know, it's always much harder to kind of, and you're not going to get such a great response if you're interrogating your parent after they've had the meeting with somebody with a great idea. They're going to feel like you're asking critical questions to them. I think it's probably more helpful to ask critical questions to the person on the other side of the desk.
I think the point, the final point here is to remember that this idea is probably going to be a new idea to all, this idea of you now as a younger person trying to help, trying to get involved. And there is going to be resistance because, after all, you're the kid.
That's right.
You're still, no matter how old you are, you're still the kid.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that we're told, and this is, I think, another kind of side benefit of talking to your parents about money and getting advice, is if they are comfortable that you, the kid, are okay, and they know that you're okay and they can stop worrying about you, or that you're not asking them about their money because you need their money.
Right, right.
Being open about your own finances, assuming they're in reasonable shape, I think can often salve some of that.
Well, Pat, I think the only thing that's incorrect about what you just said is I don't think your parents will ever stop worrying about you.
I think that's true. It's been true in my life.
My guest, Pat Regnier, Assistant Managing Editor for Money Magazine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.